Today we are on Mem Aleph. Perfect start, Mishnah at the top of the daf. We're going to finish our perek, Eilin Arot. And we're going to get into all sorts of other issues, some breath of fresh air, something different, no issues with ketubah or betulim. We're going to talk a lot about shor and damages that your animal does. Okay, we're going to start off with our case, and then we're going to move from there on to other things. Ha'omer pititi et bito shel ploni. Okay, this is what we call, you come and you're modeh, basically. You admit in court, we don't have any further evidence, just your word that says, I seduced this girl. Okay, so now, what does the Mishnah say? Mishalem boshet upgam al piatzmo. So if you remember, in Pitoy, there were three things you pay. There was the knas, the boshet, and the pgam, right? The knas is the 50 shekel, and then there's the boshet upgam, depending on who she is, and all those issues. So now, what's the issue? Boshet and pgam are tashlumei mamon. So if you come into court and you say, I stole something, for example, so what do we mechayev you to do? You have to return the stolen item. But the kefel, which is the knas, the extra payment that you have to pay, we don't make you pay, because that is called knas. And there's a din that modeh b'knas patur. Okay? If you come and admit something, then you no longer have to pay the penalty, right? The fine, because you're coming and admitting. So now, this is a little tricky, though, because what's the story? You say that you are mefateh this girl, right? So you don't have to pay the knas, but you do have to pay the boshet and pgam to her. Okay? One second, there's something I wanted to add here. Right, I guess the Gemara gets into it. Right, that's where the Gemara goes with it. Fine. So we're going to leave it off at this for right now, and we'll get into it more when we get to the Gemara. Ha'omer ganavti. So that's what I said before, right? Let's say you say, I stole something. Mishalem ta'keren al piatzmo, ve'em mishalem tashlumei kefal ve'tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha. Okay, anything that was an extra incurred penalty, remember, these are very important concepts to get straight, okay, both for today and in general. Mamon is payment back for the financial loss that you caused to somebody else. And knas is an extra penalty. So again, when it comes to a guy who admits something, he's going to pay just the mamon and not the knas. Now, some cases, it's very clear cut. What's the mamon? What's the knas? In our case, it's very clear. The 50 shekel is the 50 kesef is the knas. The boshet and pgam is the mamon. Okay, when it comes to stealing, it's the same thing. Hemit shori et ploni, o shorosho ploni. Okay, let's say my shor kills someone, or it kills the shor of someone. Hareze mishalem al piatzmo. Okay, then when we're talking about damages, we're talking about mamon. Again, right? It caused damage to a person, it caused to a shor, we're going to pay mamon. Hemit shori avdo shel ploni, e mishalem al piatzmo. Okay, but we're going to see this case of the shor maybe isn't 100% clear cut. We're going to get to it in the Gemara. Anyway, the last case is the shor now kills an eved. Okay? Eino mishalem al piatzmo. Now, why eino mishalem al piatzmo? Because the assumption is that when the shor kills the eved, the payment is the payment of knas. Okay, why is that? I want you to read, we're going to read the psukim inside in a minute. Okay? And then we'll see for a minute. Zeh haklal, first we're going to read the last line. Kol mishalem yeter amashi zik, eino mishalem al piatzmo. If you have to pay any more than what the actual damages you cause, then eino mishalem al piatzmo. So let's look in the psukim for a minute and try to figure out why there's a difference with the eved than the other cases. So here are the cases about the shor. Okay, so in Shmo Perakaf Aleph, Pasuk Kafchet, starts in Kafchet. Ki yigach shor et ish o et isha vamet, sakol yisakel hashor velo yeachel et besaro, ubal hashor naki. Okay, if a shor kills a person, and the person dies, you have to stone the shor. You can't get hana from its meat. Ubal hashor naki. And the owner of the shor is exempt. Vim shor nagahu mitmol shel shomen. And the assumption is you weren't expecting that your shor was going to go kill someone, so you're not responsible. That's a case of shor tam. But vim shor nagahu mitmol shel shom v'hu'ab v'ba'ala v'lo yishmerenu. But if it's a shor muad, where it did it already three times, and you weren't watching it, you know, you weren't protecting it, and he meet isha isha, hashur yisakel v'gam ba'alav yumat, then you are high of death. This is the case we saw earlier, where how are you high of death? You're high of death bidei shamayim. Okay, man can't kill you for this, but if your shur killed another man after it was already a shur muad, you're responsible basically, so you should get killed. But im kofer yushat alav, this is what causes all the issues a few dapim ago. If you put right, if you put an amount on it, benatam pidyon nafsho kachol asher yushat alav, you can basically pay your way out, and that's what people do. Okay, if your shur nagach killed someone, you pay. Okay, you pay the value. We're gonna see further on in Chas what the value is, what's it based on. Today we'll see a little bit of it. Okay. Obey yigach, obat yigach, kemishpat hazeh yaselo. Okay, here we got to an eved. Im eved yigach hashur o ama, kesef shloshim shkalim yiten la'adonah v'ashur yisakel. What do we assume here? There's a fixed amount. Because it's a fixed amount, the assumption is, just like our 50 shekel, right, 50 kasef is a fixed amount and it's a knas, we're therefore going to assume that this 30 shekel, the rabbis are assuming, is a knas. Because it's not based on the value of this specific eved, right? We all know avedim can be worth different values, right? You go buy a very strong, healthy eved, he's going to cost a certain amount. You buy an older eved, he's going to cost less. The fact that the Torah gives a specific amount, they learn from here that it's knas and not mamon. And that's why, if you admit that your shur killed an eved, you don't pay the knas. Because it's modeh b'knas, and modeh b'knas is patur. Okay? So then the last case we're going to see inside is v'chi yigov shur ish et shur re'ehu. Okay, someone shur kills another shur. We're on Pasuk Lamed Hei in Shema Perakaf Aleph. V'met, and the shur dies. U'machru et hashur hachai v'chatsu et kaspo v'gam et hamet yechatsu. Okay, you're going to sell the shur that's alive. You're going to have the amount. And also have the and gam, also the value of the mate we're going to have. Basically, the way they're going to understand this is you pay half the value of the shur that you killed, and you're going to pay it from the shur that you, your shur that killed. You're going to sell and take the value and from that value pay the chatzi nezek that you owe. Again, this is a shur tam. You only pay half damages. Okay, we're going to see soon, it's going to be a big discussion in the Gemara today, this half damages that you pay, is it mamon or is it knas? Okay, it didn't talk about this necessarily, right? What did it say? The Mishnah said it's mamon, right? But what's not clear in the Mishnah? Is it talking about a shur tam or a shur mu'ad? Okay, so the short tam is going to be a big question. Is our Mishnah talking about a short tam? In which case, what will we learn? That the short tam pays mamon. If it's not talking about the short tam, then it's possible the short tam pays knas. Okay, do you follow? There's maybe we'll get to the shor muad and then you'll understand better. I'll go back and I'll repeat it. Then last pasuk is, oh no, daki shor nagachu mitmol shel shom. If it's known that this shor is already damaged in the past, the lo yishmerenu ba'alav, Shalem yishalem shor tachat hashor v'hameti yelo. Okay, what do you have to pay? You have to pay a shor for a shor. That's clear, it's mamon. Okay, the whole question is when you pay half damages because you're a shor tam, how do we look at it? Is it because you really owe nothing because you didn't have to worry about your animal until you knew you had to worry about him, and therefore whatever we're making you pay is just a knas? Or is it that you really have to pay the mamon, but because you weren't really expecting it, we're not going to make you, so we're only making you pay half, in which case your payment is mamon. It's only half the mamon. Okay, you follow? So based on what you think, is it mamon or knas, that's going to affect whether you're mishalem al piatzmo or not. Okay, and whether the Mishnah, when it said, heimit shoriyat ploni, o shorosha ploni, hareza mishalem al piatzmo, is that talking only about a shor muad, or is it also maybe talking about a short time? Okay, that's going to be the direction we're going to go in today. About a lot of the sugya is going to be to try to figure out, is shor tam mamon or knas, which is an interesting discussion, right? How do you perceive this guy who killed, who's shor killed when he wasn't expecting it? Okay, and we're going to get from here into the three different types of damages that the shor has to pay. There's shein, regel, and keren. Okay, we'll get into the details of it in a little bit. Okay, let's go back to our, so remember, the Mishnah listed a whole bunch of cases where you have a guy comes and admits, okay, our first case, just to remind you, because we're going to start with that, a guy comes into court and says, I seduced this woman, okay, and now what does he have to pay? So what did we say? When you come and admit into court, you don't have to pay knas. We're going to see, by the way, another very important ramification of knas, okay, which is in the time period that basically when the whole center moved from Israel to Babel, and Babel started to get very strong in the beginning of the time of the Amoraim, and then Eretz Israel was kind of losing power, and they instituted all sorts of laws, things that can only be done in Eretz Israel. And one of those things we learned about Kiddush HaChodesh can only be done in Eretz Israel, and even the significance of burial in Eretz Israel came from that time period. And another law is smicha can't be done. Remember we talked about this? You can't get smicha as a rabbi. That's why the rabbis in Eretz Israel are called Rebbe, and the rabbi in the Amoraim, like Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, is Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. There's a whole bunch of them. Or Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. But the rabbis in Babel are all called Rav, because they don't have real smicha, like full smicha. And because they don't have full smicha, they're not allowed. A court in Babel can't demand knas. Knas is something that only rabbis who have smicha and a beit din in Eretz Yisrael can be goveh. So all the dinim of knas can't be collected in Eretz Yisrael. Our sugya is going to end with some discussion of that. Okay? So just to talk about the ramifications of knas. So one is modeh b'knas is patur. Okay? If we don't know of any other testimony that this event happened other than your testimony, we don't make you pay. And the second is ein gobin knas b'vavel. Okay.
How come I don't bring up the case of
Ones? Good that you asked, because the Gemara starts with that. V'litne anasti. Why doesn't it say, okay? It's perfect. It's always good. Baruch Shekivat, right? You've got the Gemara head. V'litne anasti. So why doesn't it say, he says, I raped her. Lo mibaya kamar. Okay, in other words, it didn't need to say it. Lo mibaya anasti. De lo kapagim la de mishalim. Demashalim boshe tu pgam al piatzmo, aval patiti de kapagim la ema lo mishalim al piatzmo, kamashmala matniti. Kamashmala. So, what do we say here? In a case of what? Think about this case. This is an interesting modia case because this modia case has ramifications not just to this person but to somebody else. If you say, I seduced this woman, what are you basically doing? You're saying this woman agreed to have sex with me. That's a huge embarrassment for her, right? So, if we're going to say, so anasti, where he's lo pagimla, okay? Now he is, it's interesting they say lo pagimla, right? He is pagimla because now she has no betulim. In other words, he's saying this woman has no betulim. But the assumption is he's saying it's not like, or it's less than this woman agreed to have sex with me, right? It's a real embarrassment for this woman if it's shown in court that, right, if this guy comes and says, I seduced her and she was a willing partner, that's very embarrassing to her.
He also has to marry her if he raped her.
That's true. But you're saying, so therefore what? How would that be affected by this?
He still has to pay the same.
He still pays the same knas.
No, but if he goes to court, you were talking about how the burden will also fall on her if he confesses that he seduced her.
Yeah, you're saying the burden falls on him. No, but the point is, it's not the burden falling on her. It's that he is embarrassing someone else in the process. And what they're saying is like this. If in the case of, in other words, they're clearly, when he's not necessarily affecting her as strongly in terms of the pkima, like the busha for her, he still has to be mishalem boshet upgam al piatzmo. Aval patiti dekapagim la emalo. We might say, because his testimony incriminates someone else also, we might not accept it at all. As in a pitoy case, since it's going to basically make her look bad, we might say, we're not going to allow you, based on just you coming in and saying, I seduced this woman, to let you mess up. Because maybe, what's your ulterior motive? You have something against this woman. So you want to come and say, you don't care about the money, let's say. And you don't care, right? In pitoy, you don't have to marry her. So maybe you come and say, right, she slept with me, just to totally humiliate this woman. And again, maybe money's not an issue for you, so you don't care. So if you come and do that, we're not going to believe you and let you mess someone else up. Okay? So basically, you might have thought that. Therefore, it comes to tell you that in a pitoy case, we're going to still accept your testimony, and you're going to have to be mishal on the boshad upgam. And therefore, they don't even need to tell you in an ones case. Because in an ones case, where it's just really an embarrassment for him, it's not so much as, you know, it's true, it's embarrassment for her, but not as much as pitoy, you know, mafate. So basically, therefore, it only needed to tell you the mafate case. Obviously, it would be the case in the case of the ones. We would accept his testimony. Okay. Second thing they're going to say about this, matnitin deloki haitana. Our Mishnah, we've seen this before, does not follow the Tanaitic opinion that appears in this Braita. In other words, it's not Aliba de Kule Alma, right? Not everybody agrees with this Mishnah. Because what does it say? Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Detanya Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Af Boshet Upgam Eino Meshalem Al Piatzmo. Okay? Even the Boshet Upgam, he doesn't pay Al Piatzmo. Local Heimenu Sheifgom Bito Shaploni. Here we see the opposite opinion. That we don't accept his testimony because we don't allow him to basically disgrace this woman's name just based on his testimony alone. And therefore, if a guy goes to court, it's really interesting, right? He basically, if the only evidence we have is his testimony, we don't make him pay boshet upgam to this girl, okay? Because we're worried that the embarrassment, now what's interesting is, let's say she really was seduced, and she really deserves the family, right? The father deserves to get the money. So now what happens? Just because he comes and admits it, right? Now, and we can't say that we're going to allow him to mess her up. So therefore, there's no tashlum for her. Like, she loses out in the end. She wins out. How does she win out? Because in the end, you know when you're in court, you have all these, right? You've seen this. They come to court and they give an objection. They say overruled, you know, and they say sustained, and then you basically have to erase it. Like, you tell them, oh, well, ignore what you just heard, right? So you have to tell all the people, ignore what you just heard about this girl. I don't know how this girl's going to walk on the streets anymore, right? People know that there was some possibility, right? I don't know what her chances are of getting married at this point. She's already somewhat pagum, but the point is, if the court doesn't record it, right, and if it's not there, then it's as if it didn't happen. And then, so first of all, you could say, well, maybe no one knew that he came to court to say this. Right? Once a p'sak din gets out, then it becomes popular, and it becomes publicized. Everybody knows about it. So maybe if he comes to court and says it, and we reject him, and we say, we're not accepting this, nobody will really know. That's the hope. And then this girl won't be paguma. But then, in the end, what's the problem?
She doesn't get
her money. So now the Gemara is going to ask about this. Okay? So that's Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon's opinion that was passed down by Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. So now they say, Amar le Rav Papa Labai, Nichale l'didamai. What if she prefers the pgima, right? She prefers to be pguma and get her money. Dilma lo nichale lavia. Yeah, it could be she wants the money, but maybe her father doesn't want the money. And her father doesn't want the busha, right? He's the one who's going to have to worry about marrying her off. Nichale, so then he asks, well, what if nichale lavia? What if her father doesn't care and he prefer to get the money? Mai. So what do they say? Dilma lo nichalehu lebnei mishpacha. Could be the father doesn't care, but it could be the uncles and the brothers, and you know, there's other family members that care. This is going to be very interesting. Nichalehu lebnei mishpacha. What if the family says, we don't care, we'd rather have the money? Let's say it's a really poor family, and they prefer to get the money, and they want, you know, really did happen, so they want to get the... So what do they answer? Efshar delei kacha b'medina hayam delo nichale. There must be some distant relative that doesn't want this to be known, and therefore, basically, what are they saying? That it can't possibly be that they
shame her.
It's right. The shame is worse than the money. In other words, than getting money. This shame is so bad that better off, you know. There's got to be, you know. It's almost like saying maybe. Consciously, they think they want the money, but subconsciously, they don't really, right? It's almost like that kind of perspective. Okay, now we're moving out of this whole territory. We're going into a whole new Baba Kama, okay? We're switching heads. We're getting into the Shor Nagah, okay? And it's like what I said. We're going to get into this question of Chatzi Nezek. How do we treat Chatzi Nezek? Umir ganavti mishalem et hakerem v'chule. They're really going to, not really referring to that line. They're referring to the later lines about the Shor. Itmar, there's a machloket about palganizka. Rav Papa Amar, palganizka mamona. Rav Huna Brid, Rav Yoshua Amar, palganizka knasa. By the way, this is a very common structure. It starts with an itmar. Itmar means ne'emar, like there was a machloket emoraim, and it's almost always going to follow the same structure. It's going to give the topic, what they fight about, the two opinions, and then most cases they'll say, and he says this because of that, and he said that because of that. So it always comes title, two opinions, and then he said this because of that, and he said this because of that. Okay, so now, Palganizka, that's our title, Chatzinezek. Rav Papa Amar, Palganizka is Mamon. Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua Amar, Palganizka is Knas. So Rav Papa Amar, Palganizka Mamona, why? Kasavar, he holds that Stam Shvarim, Lav Chizkat Shimur Kaime. Okay, most Shvarim are not... are supposed Ubedin hu d'mashalim kule, right there with lav. I was the lashon is almost like hafuch. Lav b'chezkat shimur means that they need to be right. That's what it means. They're not considered watched on their own. In other words, they're animals that need protection. They need you to watch them. Okay, they're not predictable. Would be a good way of saying it. Okay, so they're lav b'chezkat shimur, and therefore. And you as their owner are totally responsible. And therefore, b'din hu d'mashalim kule, even if your shor tam has never damaged anyone, a regular shor is known to go damaging people. That's the perspective. It's almost like, right, philosophy is man inherently good or inherently bad. It's the same thing, right? This is going to be the machloket. Is a base shor, is he inherently bad and he's going to go hurt somebody? Okay? According to Rav Papa, he is. B'rachmanahu d'chayis ilaveh. Da'akate lo'yai Torah, and the Torah has rachmanut, okay, rachman is the Torah and chayis is rachamim. The Torah has rachamim on the owner, because akate adayin lo'yad, meaning he's not adayin a mu'ad, he wasn't warned. What does a mu'ad mean? From lashon ed. Okay, he was testified about. So because of that, yai Torah, Torah is the shore. Okay, and therefore he only has to pay half because the Torah is rachmanut, but really it's a mamon, and we only make you pay half the mamon. Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua Amar, b'diuk the opposite. Palganiz k'knasa k'savar stam shvarim b'chazkat shimur kaimi. We don't expect that a shor is going to go kill another shor. That's not the expected behavior. Ubedinhu delo lishalim klal. Really, you shouldn't have to pay anything at all. Rachmanahu dekansei. But the Rahmana punished him, gave him a fine. Why? Because he still should have watched his shor. Okay? Even though we generally don't expect he's going to go kill someone, you still have to watch over your animals. You have to be, you know, you have to be on top of things. Therefore, we make you pay a chatzi nezek. Okay. Now we're going to have four attempts to prove Rav Papa that it's mamon and not knas. Okay? And in the end, we're not going to really be able to prove it so well, but we're going to try. Okay, here goes. Siman, hezek, ma, vehemit, klal. This is just a siman for the four cases we're going to bring. We're going to bring, okay, you can see it here. You can tell by the fonts. Okay, 1, 2, 3, and 4. 4 Tanaitic sources. Okay, some from our Mishnah. Okay, so 4 cases, 4 braitot or Mishnahs. And each time we're going to try to show, actually 3 are from our Mishnah and 1 is from another Mishnah. We're going to basically try to show that, or maybe, sorry, 2 are from, anyway, 2 are not from here, 2 are from here. We're going to basically try to show that it's mama. Tnan. Hanizak v'hamazik b'tashlumin. Okay, what does that mean? The nizak and the mazik both have to pay. What does that mean? The nizak is the guy who was damaged, who sure was damaged. And the mazik is the one who damaged. Well, how could the nizak have to pay tashlumin? So what does this mean? Bishlama lamanda amar palga nizka mamona. If you say the chatzi nezek is mamon, hainu deshayach nizak b'tashlumin. That's what it means, right? If you're owed the whole value of your shor, but the Torah has rachmanut on you and is only making you pay half, right? So really it's a tashlum mamon. Now we understand why the nizak has to also pay, because what is he paying? He's paying half his shor. You follow? If you only get, let's say someone damaged your shor, and they pay you half the value, well then you lost half the value. That's as if you paid half the value of your shor. Okay? That's basically tashlumin if we say it's mamon. But ela lamanta mar palganiz kaknasa hashta dilav didei kashakil b'tashlumin ite. In other words, since he's getting something that isn't belonging to him anyway, when he pays that chatzi nezek is knas. That's not something that's belonging to him, right? It should be coming his way. Really, chatzi nezek is knas. So he really shouldn't be getting anything. So how could you possibly say that he also pays part? It doesn't make any sense. You follow? Okay? If my shor damages yours, right? And I pay... I'm supposed to pay zero, right? In the end, I pay you half. Okay? So that's just like a present to you. So you, as a Nizak, didn't lose anything. Okay? You certainly didn't lose anything that was coming to you. So what does it mean that the Nizak is betashlumin? So here they're going to explain, lo nitzracha ela lepchat nevela. Okay, what is pchat nevela? How do we determine chatzi nezek? We determine chatzi nezek based on the value of your shor. Okay, there's the time bishat mita. Okay, and then there's shat hadin. Now, what happens? Your shor gets killed right here. Okay, you have to wait to get to court. Right, some time elapses between the time your shor died to the time you get to court. What happens to your animal? It rots. By the time you sell it at the Gemara Din to get the value at that point, your shor is going to be worth less. Or let's say you don't even wait till the Gemara Din, but you wait a little while, right? Let's say you wait a few hours. You're busy dealing with other things. Whenever you sell it, okay? So shat ha-mechira, okay, whenever that might be, okay? What it's worth at the shat ha-mechira and the shat ha-mita is going to be somewhat different. Who swallows that? Who eats that up? The nizak, the owner, okay? Because the guy who pays the chatzi nezek, now we're going to assume it's a knas payment, and now we can find where the nizak is also paying. Because the guy pays only from shat mita, but by the time he sells it, it's worth less, and that devaluation is on the nizak, okay? And that's what it means, hanizak v'amazik v'tashlumin. That's all very nice and good, but there's a problem. Okay. In order to understand this problem, I want you to just look here. Under number one, I brought these Mishnayot inside of Bava Kamma. Okay, we're going to start with Mishnah Bet, which is our case. The last three words in Mishnah Bet, in Perek Aleph of Bava Kamma, is exactly what we just saw. Hanizak v'hamazik b'tashlumin, which now we're saying, according to the guy who says it's knas, this comes to teach you the din of pchat nevela, right? You follow how we got that way? Because if you say it's mamon, we understand where the nizak is b'tashlumin. If you say it's knas, then the only way it could be is if you say this is talking about pchat nevela. But the problem is that if you look at Mishnah Perek Bava Kamma Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph, the last line is ukishehizik chav hamazik l'shalem tashlume nezek b'metav ha'aretz. Okay. Now we're going to see in a minute that there's a brayta on this Mishnah. Okay, that explains that this is a remez to, or this is talking about the din of pchat nevela. In which case, we're going to say, I'll read it inside in a minute, but basically then, Mishnah Aleph is coming to teach you pchat nevela, and Mishnah Bet is coming to teach you pchat nevela, and that can't be, because why would you need two Mishnayot to teach you that? So let's read it inside, and then we'll see. So the Gemara says, Tanina, but well, pchat nevela, how could you say pchat nevela? Tanina tashlume nezek, milamed shahabalim metaplim benevela. When it says tashlume nezek, and it doesn't say, it should have said mishalem atanezek, okay? Rashi says that it should have said in the Braita, in the Mishnah, mishalem atanezek b'meitav ha'aretz. You have to pay the damages from the best of your land, okay? But here, they say because it says not mishalem atanezek, but tashlume nezek, they say that the word tashlume comes to say that the baalim are metaplim b'nevela. In other words, that it's a tashlum for the damages that happened at shat mita, and it's not that you owe money for what the shor is valued at presently. You owe it based on, it's a tashlum, and a tashlum you pay based on when the actual event happened. Okay, and that already teaches you pchat nevela. So now they say, well, if Mishnah Aleph teaches you pchat nevela, then why should Mishnah Bet be teaching you? In which case, it doesn't make any sense, according to Lamanda Amar, that it's knas. So now we're going to explain. No, you need them both. Why? Chada b'tam v'chada b'muad. Okay, one Mishnah is saying that there's pchat nevela in a tam case, and one in a muad case. Now, utzricha, you're going to have to explain why you couldn't learn one from the other. Di'iash me'inan tam, you would have, if let's say we just learned it in a tam case, what would you have thought? Mishum de'akate lo yayid, because it's not yet mu'ad, therefore we're going to put less onus on the guy who's paying, and we're going to make him pay less, right? He's not going to have to pay the pchat nevela. Aba mu'ad di'iayid ema lo. But if he's a sure mu'ad, we're going to say you're fully responsible and you're going to have to be mefatzeh this guy, right? Pay his damages ad asof, meaning even now that the nevela is worth less. V'iyash mina mu'ad, what could be the flip reasoning? Mishum de kamashalin kule. The mu'ad is already paying full damages. So we don't need, once you're paying full damages, we don't need to add also the pchat nevela. Okay, because the owner is getting everything. So yeah, so you won't get pat nevela, but at least you're getting full damages. Aval tam emalo, but a tam you might say the opposite, right? A tam he's only paying chatzi nezek. At least make him pay the pat nevela. Okay, so you see how we can do it the flip, and therefore it's tzricha. That's why you need both. Okay, that was source number one. Now we get to source number two. So in the end, what have we proven? That we can read this both according to knas or mamma. So we don't prove anything. Tashma, again, remember, we're always trying to prove, the gisha is to say the first assumption is it's mamon, and then they're going to reject that. Yeah.
No, this is something I should have asked before, but it's just nagging.
Uh-huh.
Why are they doing pat nevela? Because milchatchila, the guy, the owner of the shore, didn't want him dead. That already in itself is the nezek. Now, you're talking about the his status from going from life to dead is already a big change, and then he's going from dead to having, you know, deteriorated over a certain time period is what they're focusing on, is what the damages are. But the focus of the damages should be, I mean, it just seems it funny that they, that the Rabbanim picked Pchat Nevela as to be the focus, is to justify.
Well, they're trying to understand what does it mean that the Nizak has to pay Tashlumin. That's their struggle.
Well, because
how could the Nizak
went from life to death? Unless it was...
No, but again, but he's getting paid back from the... In other words, again, if you're saying that the Mazik pays him half of what he owes him, then you understand he paid the other half. But if the Mazik is not supposed to pay him anything, really, because, right, he's not... Because the Torah isn't mechayev him at all. It's only that we're mechayev him a fine, a penalty, but it's not a mamam penalty. So then the question is, well, what is it? So you're right, it's true, he has no shor. But that's not a tashlumin. It's not a payment, because there's no payment coming to him. He's the according to the fact that it's knas, the owner of the shor,
right,
in theory should get ephes.
Right,
well, but then they're saying, so since we're going to assume that this must be knas, right, then what is he paying? So it must be he's paying the pchat nevela. Okay? Tashma. Ma bein tam lemuad. Here we have a list. Ma bein tam lemuad. Sha'atam mashalem chatzi nezek migufo. Umu'am mashalem nezek shalem min ha'aliyah. Okay, so what does this mean? Min, so if you notice that line said, you pay me meitav ha'aretz, right? You saw that? That's what we read in the Mishnah. Kishizik hava mazik l'shalem meitav ha'aretz. That's a muad. A muad pays from his land, okay, his property. But a short tam pays migufo. Remember we saw the pasuk? They sell the shor hachai v'chatsu et kaspo. Now let's say I have a shor that's worth a lot of money. Let's say it's worth 200 shekel, okay? My shor is worth 200 shekel. Let's say that's a lot of money, okay? Now, my shor, you're supposed to pay me 100, chatsi nezek. Let's say you sold your shor and your shor was only worth 80 shekel to begin with. You don't even have the full money to pay me half damages. So what do we say? You only pay me 80 shekel. Okay, because it comes out of, the pasuk says, machru et hashor hachai, right? V'chatsu et kaspo v'gam tamed yachatsun. In other words, you only, if you don't have more than that in the value of your shor who killed me, you don't have to pay any more than that. Okay?
But didn't we learn yesterday that it didn't make a difference if she was a princess or if she was a, like, in terms of valuating the knas is a standard number.
No, but this isn't knas. This is, well, now, right, this is the value, well, it depends. It could be knas, you're saying. But the point, yeah, but this has a special law. This is different because this says in the Torah, you sell your shor, and you're going to, it depends on the value of what the shor is, right? It depends on what the value of my shor was that you damaged. And then it also is going to depend, though, on how much money you have, right? When you have to pay me metav ha'aretz, so we're going to take it from all your property, from everything. But when it comes to the shor tam, you only have to pay from the value of your shor that damaged. So if your shor doesn't have enough value in him to pay me fully, then you don't pay me fully.
In other words, the victim gets the raw end of the deal.
Yes.
He didn't ask for it, and he's also not getting
right. The value. But it's also because you're not fully responsible, because you weren't expecting your shor to do this. That's what it all comes down to. That you didn't know that your shor was capable of doing this kind of a thing, so you weren't protecting it from doing this kind of a thing. So we're going to get into different damages of the shor that some, obviously, you're more responsible for. Obviously, when we get to Baba Kama, we're going to learn this much better. Okay. So now, why does this tell us anything? Because lo katane shat, it doesn't, what doesn't it list here, right? It says ma ben shor tam lemuad. We've seen this before. It says, what's the difference? It doesn't list this as a difference. So it must be that that's not a difference, right? Velo katani shatami no mishalem al piatzmo. Umu'a mishalem al piatzmo, right? It doesn't list that. Okay? So it must be that they're both mamum payments, right? And there we have our proof. Because if it was a difference, it would have listed it. That one is knas and one is mamum, right? It would have said, this ain't no mishalem al piatzmo because it's knas, and this mishalem al piatzmo because it's mamum. So now what do they answer? Like we've seen many times, ton of a shear. Oh, he didn't list everything. He left out some things. If you recall, whenever we have a ton of a shear, what do we have to show? That there's some other things that were left out also, because he wouldn't leave out just one thing. So my shear, the high shear, what else was left out? Shear chatzi kofer. Okay? He left out chatzi kofer. What's that? That if we learned about this case, that if you kill, if a shear kills a man, he pays kofer, right? He pays his way out. Really, he's supposed to get killed bidei shamayim, but instead, what did we say? We're going to pay the kofer. So now we learn that when he pays the kofer, if it's a short time, he still has to pay the kofer, but he only pays chatzi kofer. Even though it says bala shor naki, there is a din of chatzi kofer. And, right, so it's interesting. When I read the psukim, if you notice, right, the first case he kills someone, he's bala shor naki. But the rabbis learned he's not naki entirely. He's naki from half the damages. Okay? But he has to pay the other half. So even though it says he's naki, he's not really naki. So in a shoritam case, he pays chatzi kofer if he kills a person. In a shormu'ah case, he pays full kofer, right? Kofer shalem. So that's another difference between them they didn't say. Okay? So because it didn't say that, we see it could be they left out a bunch of things. Okay? So now, hamane, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he da'amar tam shalem chatzi kofer. But that's only according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and not everyone agrees that he pays chatzi kofer. Okay, not everybody agrees with that. So now they're saying it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Okay, next source. Tashma. Hemit shori et ploni. One second. I thought there was... Did I skip something? No. Ta-da. No. Okay. Why did I remember something else being here? Sorry. No, I read it wrong. Okay, I knew I was missing something. Chatzi kofer, period. Okay, then the Gemara asks, Im ishum chatzi kofer, lav shiurahu, hama... Oh, so they say, if... One second. The... All right, you could just say that it's not a shiur at all, that they didn't leave it out at all, because you could say that Hamani is Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says, Tam Shalem Chatzi Kofer, and then, one second, that's what it is, okay, that you could say that the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says, Tam Shalem Chatzi Kofer, and therefore wasn't left out at all, because, it listed separately in another Mishnah, so it didn't need to list it here. In which case, it didn't list it. In which case, where are you back to? Then that's how you read that Mishnah. Let me start from the beginning. That now that we read the Mishnah this way, that explained that it's knas, because there's a difference between them. But if you say there's mamon, then there's no other differences between them. In which case, we don't want one difference being... Always the problem is, when you say ton of a shear, you have to have a bunch of differences left over. So if you want to have a bunch of differences, right, that's great. But if, right, what did we find? We only found one other difference. There's one other difference, which is chatzi kofer. And there's our difference, which is mamon versus knas, right? That one is mamon and one is knas. Now we have two differences. But if you don't hold that there's a difference mamon knas, because you think the whole thing is mamon, in which case there's no difference, in which case we don't want just chatzi kofer being left over, because now we're going to be stuck, that we only have one difference, and you need to have more than one difference. So what do they say? Don't worry about that. We'll just say it's like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is listening to a different Mishnah. We didn't need to list it here. And that's how you would explain that. Okay. Third case. Our Mishnah. Hemit shoriyat ploni. This we already learned. O shorosha ploni. Hareza mishalem al piatzmo. My lav bitam. Okay, what did we just say? You're mishalem al piatzmo. What did our Mishnah say? If you kill someone, you're mishalem al piatzmo. What does that prove? Oh, it's mamon. Very clear. Is it not talking about a tam? And then the Gemara answers, lo, b'muad. You can just say that our Mishnah was talking about a shor muad. And that's why it says, your mishalem al piatzmo. But not because it was even referring to a short tam. Aval b'tam, my... Okay, so, but if you want to say, though, aval b'tam, my eino mishalem al piatzmo, If you want to say they're talking about a tam, and that a tam would not be mishalem, sorry, they're talking about a muad, and that's why it's mishalem al piatzmo, but a tam would not be mishalem al piatzmo. Adetane seifa of Josho Ploni eino mishalem al piatzmo, when it says that the evet doesn't mishalem al piatzmo, niflo v'nitne bedida, it should have said, b'medvarim amurim b'muad, aval tam eino mishalem al piatzmo. Now, what are we saying here? It should have, if it was talking about a tam, and a tam is not mishalem al piatzmo because it's knas, and since our Mishnah already lists a case there of the eved where it's eino mishalem al piatzmo, it should have also specified the tam eino mishalem al piatzmo. It doesn't make any sense that the Mishnah didn't do that. So what do they say? Why didn't it mention the tam here? Because kula b'muad kamayre, the whole thing, the whole nosei is talking about a shor muad. It wasn't even getting into shor tam, and that's why it didn't bring up the shor tam. So you could still say that our Mishnah is entirely talking about a muad, and it just didn't mention tam at all, because that wasn't what it was talking about. And therefore, you could still say that tam is knas, and therefore we don't have a proof. Tashma, last proof. Zeha klal, our last line of our Mishnah. Kol ha-mishalem yeter al-mashi yizik, eino mishalem al-piatzmo. What did it say? If you pay more than what you damaged, then you're not mishalem al piatzmo. Ha pachot mi mashe hizik. But what if you paid? What if you, in a case where we make you pay less than mashe hizik, mishalem al piatzmo? In which case, what would we say here? That like chatzi nezek, right? A chatzi nezek is a case where you're paying less, right? It seems to imply you follow. It says, only when you pay more than what you damaged, that's when we call it a fine. But in a chatzi nezek case, you're actually paying less than what you damaged. And if it's only more, we call it a knas. Well, if it's less, we don't call it a knas. And there you have it. So it can't be that it's, then you would be mishalem, ha pachot mishalem al piatzmo, right? In any case where you pay less damage, you would be mishalem al piatzmo. What's a case where you pay less than full damages? That's chatzi nezek. In which case, what do you see? You're mishalem al piatzmo, which shows they would be mamon. So then they say, lo tema ha pachot mimashi zik. Don't say that's what we assume. When it says yetra mashi zik, it doesn't come to say, but not less than, okay? Ela ema ha kama shehizik mishalem al piatzmo. It's, in other words, there's a difference between if you're paying more or you're paying exactly, okay? When you pay exactly equal, then we're going to call that mamon. And we're going to say, you're mishalem al piatzmo. But if it's more than or less than already we can say, oh, well, that could be a knas. Once it's not matching up 100%, then we're going to call that knas. Okay, so don't derive that, and therefore you can't prove anything. Aval pachot mai eino mishalem al piatzmo. Okay, so yeah, but aval pachot mai eino mishalem al piatzmo. But if you want to say that it really comes to mean that pachot would be knas also, like the chatzi nezek, which is what we're trying to show, litni, then it should have said ze haklal kol she'eino mishalem kima shehizik eino mishalem al piatzmo demashma pachot demashma yeter. Then it should have just said, as long as you're not paying the exact value, right? And since it words it as yeter and not equal to, right, that must mean that that's not what it means, and therefore tiyuvta. So they say it's a koshi, in which case, what are we left with? Finally, our last proof that we tried to prove it's mamon has somewhere to stand upon. You understand? This Mishnah, because it says only if you pay yeter amashi ezik, do we call it knas, seems to imply the chatzi nezek wouldn't be knas and you would be mishalem al piatzmo, in which case it would be mamon, and that sort of seems to imply, and that's why the continuation of the Gemara is going to seem very strange. So even though we have a possible proof here for mamon, v'hilchata palganizka knasa. Okay? So the Gemara says, tiyuvta v'hilchata? What do you mean? We just had a koshi on that. How could you say then? It's hilchata. So they say, in. Yeah, it's true. It is a tiyuvta, and yet we say the halacha is like this. Why? Tam amai totiv. Mishum delo katane kama sheizik lo psikale. Kevand ika chati nezek shroro tehilchata gemirale demamonahu mishum hachi lo katane. Now they're going to say that because there's one case of chatzi nezek which we know for a fact to be mamon, that's why the Mishnah didn't say kama sheizik, kol kama sheizik, because there's one exception to that rule. In other words, what are they going to say? They're going to say, really the Mishnah meant pachot or yoter is knas, okay? But because there's one case where pachot is going to be mamon, okay, which is going to be called chatzi nezek tshuva. We're going to get to that in a minute, what that means. Because of that case, they didn't want to say knas, mamon is only when you pay exact damages, and anything else is knas, okay, because there is a case where it's less than it's mamon, and they wanted the mission to apply in all cases across the board. What is chatzi nezek tshuva? This is when an animal is walking on the street, okay, or walking, not in Rishon HaRabim, but walking in your property. Let's say you take your animal to someone else's house, okay? You come home with your dog to someone's house, okay? A more common occurrence, right? And the dog, while you're there, kicks something, which is typical for a dog to kick, let's say, or I don't know, maybe more ashore, or whatever, okay? A dog that's, we commonly kick things. He kicks these rocks. The rocks smash your window and break your window, okay? Now, if this is a short term, right? So you weren't expecting it to happen. On the other hand, this is called nizke regel. And regel, something your animal does with his feet, is a very common occurrence. And we're going to make you responsible. Chatzi nezek, and that's chatzi nezek mamon. Because as opposed to when he kills someone, which comes under the damages of keren, which is not so expected, there we're going to say it's knas. But when it comes to chatzi nezek tshuva, where it's something that's more expected, that your animal's going to kick, you should have been watching. He wasn't kicking rocks, it was going to go damage something. So then you have to pay mamon. That's called mamon. Okay, and it's a hilchat hagemira, meaning it's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that it's mamon. And because of that, that's why the Mishnah used that nisuach, and therefore we don't have to learn from it anything about our case. Okay. Now they're just going to say some dinim kamadis. We'll be done in one more minute. V'hashu damar palgan is k'knasa. So now that we know it's knas, we're going to give a few cases. Hai kalba da'achal imre. If a kelev eats an animal, like, what, how do they? It's a sheep. Okay, if a kelev eats a sheep. Vishunra achle tarnagole, okay, a cat eats a tarnagol, okay, a hen, rooster, ravrave, a big one, mishunehu, that's considered unnormal behavior, right, abnormal, it's going to come under keren, velo magbina bebavel, now we get to the bavel, right, and we don't collect that type of knas in bavel because it's only knas. Avalzutre, but if it's a small animal, okay, or a small rooster, Orchehu umagvinan. Okay, then we're going to say that's something expected. It's something that typically happens, and therefore we're going to call that mamon, and we are going to be gove in bava. Now, getting into this bavel knas thing. Now, if it's a case of knas in bavel, and the courts don't have the power to be gove knas, but itafas lo mafkina mine. But if the owner came right away and just took some money out of the hands of the owner of the shore, let's say, right, I was the one damaged. Your shore damage mine. I go and I'm owed knas. I go and I just take money from your, right? Because I know you owe me money. Once I'm tofes that money, we're not motzi it from, okay? We're not saying you should go do that. But if you were to do it, we're going to learn all sorts of cases like that. Where once someone's tofes, then lomaf kinamine, depending on the situation. It's since magia li, but the court can't demand it for me, if I were to take it myself, lomaf kinamine. The amar, and if I were to say to the owner, Ikbau li zimna la eretz Yisrael mikav inan le. I want to take you to Israel because I'm going to judge you in court where they can actually demand the money. So you have to go. Vilo azam mishamtina le. And if you don't go, they put you in nidoy. Now one more halacha. Bein kach ubein kach mishamtina le. No matter what, they put you in nidoy. Whether you pay me, right? If you, whether I force you to go to Israel or not, we always put you in nidoy until what? Until you deal with your animal. Because we say to him, get rid of your animal, right? You have an animal that goes and damages other people. You got to deal with your animal. So we say, get rid of your thing that's damaging people. We learned this from Rabbi Natan. You have to be responsible for things in your property that they don't damage other people. So even if you don't pay the knas, we still put you in nidoy until you deal with that animal. And so yes, it could be, right? This is a way of saying, basically, it's almost like we're okay for the halacha in a certain, like the halacha says we can't be gove this in Bavel. And remember, we're in the Bavli here. And they're basically saying this whole halacha is, once we say that chatzi nezek is knas, and we can't be gove and bavel, there's basically no din of chatzi nezek. But what are they saying? Still, we can put you in nidoy, because you have something that can damage others, and it's like a safety hazard, and you better take care of your animal. And until such time as you do that, we're going to put you in nijoy. And others, since we can't use those methods of finding you, we're going to use other methods. And that's what they're saying. Okay. Hadron alach elu nara. Move on tomorrow to a new pair.
So two questions. What